This is Bruce Collins, your host for the Bible Studies program, and we're glad you're in our audience today. We trust the program will be a blessing to you. Now, if you'd like to contact me, you can go to my website, bdcministries.com, and I hope you will go there because there's not only this program that can be re-listened to there, but the old programs are there, and there's testimonies, questions and answers, and other information on the website that I think you'll find extremely helpful. So that website is bdcministries.com, and it has an email address as well as a postal address that you can use to contact me. And of course, the postal address is the one that we've generally used, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849, Bible Studies, Box 192, Greenfield, Iowa 50849, and we'd be happy to get your comments or your prayer requests with regard, your comments on the program and prayer requests with regard to your needs, and we would take them seriously and pray for you. Now, today we want to continue looking at these Ten Commandments, but we're going to look at them again from the standpoint of what the New Testament seems to tell us about them. I believe that the New Testament, particularly the epistles, are our commentary on the Old Testament. And obviously, when we come to the New Testament, we find out that salvation is not through keeping the Ten Commandments, because none of us have ever been able to keep them in a pure way. We all have problems with our purposes and intents of our heart, and God does look at the heart with regard to these commandments, and the one we're looking at today really is a heart issue. It's a lust issue, and even if the lust is not carried out in an active way in our lives, we're not to covet, which is the one we're going to be looking at. We've looked at not having any other gods and no graven images, and we've talked about honoring the name of God, reverencing it, and keeping the Sabbath, and those four are all have to do with loving God. But then we come into the six that deal with loving our neighbor, and that is honoring your father and your mother, and not murdering, and not committing adultery, and not stealing, and not lying or bearing false witness, particularly in a court of law. And now we've come to the last one, you shall not covet or desire. And this is a difficult one because, again, as I've mentioned before, these commandments overlap. That is, they are intertwined, they're complementary. And so when we look at covetousness, it often leads to stealing. Stealing would be the act, covetousness would be the lust or the appetite that caused us to act. And so we really can't distinguish one from the other as though they do not have an interplay between each other. But when we look at covetousness, it is my contention that it is not wrong to want a car like your neighbor's, but it is wrong to want your neighbor's car or his wife or his house. And so actually covetousness leads to stealing, and stealing involves taking the item illegally or by force. Covetousness may allow for legal means of defrauding your neighbor. You can use the laws on eminent domain, you can use the bankruptcy laws, you can use the temptation to loan money to somebody who's a gambler and then charge him excessive interest and take what is his legally. These are all things that you can do because you're covetous. And so covetousness is really the appetite or the lust, and we find out that stealing is the result of that covetousness. And so the they're closely linked and they're complementary. When we look at these Ten Commandments, I just want to go back and re-emphasize that because God looks at the heart and what we would really like to do, none of us are going to get to heaven by keeping the Ten Commandments. None of us love God the way we should. Well, if we're saved, we love God. But none of us really love God the way we should, because if we loved God the way we should, we would also love the people that God has created, our neighbors. We would have a love for our neighbor. We would not have prejudices. We would not have problems with racism. We would not have problems dealing with the underprivileged or the privileged, or wanting to be in certain social classes at the exclusion of other social classes. And all of these class problems and problems of those who are wealthy and those who are not, they would all be done away with if we loved God as we ought, and because then we would love our neighbor as we ought. We would try to be a help to them, and we would not always be in competition with them. But as I look at this matter of covetousness, it seems to me it's the backbone on which the capitalistic system has been built. Covetousness requires us to want more than we presently have. We are trying to get ahead, and as a result, we have competition that, if we understand the model, economic models that we've been taught, and if there's free movement of goods and services, supposedly this matter of trying to get ahead or being profitable, or which really involves being the best at your business so that you can make the most money, that really has advanced the standard of living in our country. And we know that that system of capitalism, the economic system, has been a blessing to us, but it is built on this matter of covetousness, which, if it's not balanced with philanthropy and a desire to really help our neighbor, can become a real problem in society. We know that people would like to, in some cases, move to a communistic or a socialistic system. But even those are designed to help certain people at the expense of other people. And so there's no perfect system, no perfect economic system, because of this thing in our heart called covetousness. And so we're not going to get to heaven based on the keeping of the commandments. We're going to get to heaven based on having the Lord be the Savior that died for our sin, the one who says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And rest has to do with peace about the fact that we aren't what we should be, but God loves us anyway and has sent his Son to die for us. But God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, this matter of covetousness is seen in the Old Testament, even in war. There was a man in the book of Joshua, chapter 7, by the name of Achan, who had gone to war with the children of Israel, and they had been told to destroy everything that was in Jericho. But he says, "When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent, in the with the silver underneath it, hidden in the earth in the midst of my tent." And so he took what was supposed to be completely destroyed or dedicated to the Lord, and he took it for himself. And of course, this was not really stealing, but it was denying the Lord his rightful place, and it was disobedience to God. And so as a result of him disobeying God and taking what was to be destroyed or devoted completely to God, he and his family ended up dying. And soldiers that didn't know that they had been weakened by this covetousness of him. There were soldiers that died in a battle because God was not with them until this thing was straightened out. And God took his covetousness very seriously. And so it's for that reason that we need to be honest about our own lust, our own covetousness, and make sure that we don't let it turn into idolatry, because we find out that when we come down to Romans 13, verse 9, Paul says, for the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet. And if there's any other commandment, they are summed up in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And we don't really do that. And then again, in Colossians 3 and verse 5, he says, therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth, fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. And so when we constantly want more, when the desire to be rich becomes paramount in our minds, it becomes something we worship, and it becomes a matter of covetousness, and that covetousness is something that often hurts other people. And so we look at these things, and Paul tried to live a life that was not a life of covetousness, and obviously the Lord did the same. Paul says in his last contact with the church at Ephesus, he says, I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. In other words, he wasn't preaching the gospel to them to get rich. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or apparel. Yes, you yourselves know that these hands have provided for my necessities and for those who were with me. I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. And so Paul was trying to set an example of how to preach the gospel. It's a free gift. And he didn't use it to take advantage of people and to try to get them to fill his coffers and make him wealthy. And instead, he sacrificed himself in order to help those who are helping him. And so we can see as we look at this matter of covetousness that it's probably listed last because of its importance, because all of us want things that we should not want. And as I've said before, I don't know that it's necessarily wrong to want something like the neighbor has, but it's wrong to want what is the neighbor's. And it seems to me like the desire to have more often leads to the act of taking what is not really yours. Now, the Lord never did that. The Lord was always willing to sacrifice himself, and we're thankful for that. He's the example of sacrifice, the one who gave himself for us. A covetous person will want other people to give themselves for the person that's covetous. They'll want what is somebody else's, and so other people are harmed by their lives. But the Lord blessed us. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree. He was willing to become a worm and no man. He was despised and rejected of men. He was willing to be the one who everyone considered a social outcast, because he was bearing our sin. And he's going to be blessed with a church that loves him in a coming day. But as we look at the Lord Jesus Christ, he's a picture of one who was never covetous. He never lusted after that which was not his. And I think we need to recognize that it's in our heart to lust after things that are not ours, and that lust can lead to us being immoral in other ways. It can lead to adultery. It can lead to stealing. It can lead to the lying. These commandments obviously are complementary, and we need to remember that when we violate one, we're really violating others. And that's why James says that if we keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, we're guilty of all. It means that the law stands or falls together, but also when we violate one, usually it has an effect on what the others are asking, on the purity that the others are asking for. So we're not able to get to heaven by keeping the commandments. We get to heaven by trusting in the Lord. Now, our Heavenly Father, bless what has been of thyself. We thank thee for thy love in our Savior's name. Amen.